Okay, so I'm sharing my screen now on the so we today we have the guest lecture, and then shortly in the beginning I'm going to mention about the ICPOS demonstration groups. So there are four groups, and there are still two spaces left in today's demonstration. We have one space still left, and in tomorrow's session we have also one space left. So if you are able to come today or tomorrow, please sign up and go. And I haven't mentioned the teachers to you yet, but today we will be having Manuela Gilea as the teacher of the first demonstration. Tomorrow we will have Annika Lehmann. Next week we will have Antti Tiihonen, who was just here. He left just a minute ago. And then the last demonstration is by Emilia Virtanen. And I'm still planning on having one more because I think there are more students who haven't been able to sign up to the demonstrations. Yeah. Then I can stop my sharing and we can start with Meeri Rantanen. So she's from Measure Labs, and she will be talking about her own career path and her current job at the Measure Lab. So welcome, Meeri. It's very nice that we were able to have you here as a guest lecturer, and the floor is yours, so to speak. So I will maybe stop my video from here and I will move on to the audience. So please go ahead.
Yes, can you see my screen?
Yes, we can see it.
Yes, great. Hi everyone, I'm Meeri Rantanen, and today I will tell you about analytical chemistry and different analytical techniques throughout my career. Yes, so here is me, and I'm Meeri Rantanen. I'm chemist from my background, and as Siri also already mentioned, I work as a testing expert at
Sorry,
Mesolabs.
Mary. It's still showing my sharing. The screen. I don't know for what reason. I'm going to try to get it. Yeah, now. Now
Can
it's.
you see now?
Yeah, now it's
Yes.
also in the lecture hall screen. It was only in my laptop screen, but yeah.
Okay,
Yeah.
yeah. So this is me, and yes, I work as a testing expert at Mesolabs, and in my current work, I concentrate a lot of analysis related to elements and ions, PFAS compounds, and because I'm part of our chemicals and environmental team, I handle a lot of projects that are related to environmental samples, chemicals, waste materials, and different samples from industry. Then, a couple of words about Mesolabs. We are a new kind of laboratory testing service provider, and we sell and arrange analyses to our customer companies. We don't have our own laboratory to perform the analysis. Instead, we work with our partner laboratories. And we have those lab or over 900 labs in our network, and we arrange the analysis in cooperation with the labs. For example, for elements and ions, we have tens of different laboratories in our network that are specialized in different sample types, and our work is to select and sell right analysis to the right customers. In this presentation, and I have different sections. First, I will tell you about my studies, then a couple of words about my career. Then I will tell you what kind of ICP techniques I have used during my studies and career. And then I wanted to share some general insight about analyzing small concentrations and what I have learned about that topic during my career. But let's start with the studies. I have started my studies at University of Jyväskylä in 2016, and I finalized my bachelor's degree in 2019. And straight after my bachelor's thesis, I started to write my master thesis in collaboration with Nornickel Harjavalta. And after that, I finished my master's program and graduated in 2021. In addition to chemistry, I studied biology, environmental sciences, and economic sciences. And during summers, I worked at cemetery and pharmacy, and I didn't have any experience at working chemistry-related companies before I started the master thesis in Nornickel Harjavalta. But then during my master's program, I worked part-time for Nornickel Harjavalta. Then my career. So far, I have worked in three different companies. I have worked as a method development chemist at Norilsknickel Harjavalta, and I worked there approximately 1 year after my graduation. Then I have worked as an analytical service manager at Eurofins Agro, and there I worked 2 years. And now I'm working as a testing expert at Mesolabs, and I have been working here now 1.5 years. And in next section, I will tell you a bit more about these positions because all of these three are totally different. And I want to share some insight what kind of work you can do if you want to concentrate analytical chemistry also after your studies. Let's start with the method development chemist. Nornickel Harjavalta is a refiner of nickel metals and chemicals, which means that there is a factory and then there is a laboratory which measures the process samples and product samples. During my time there, I did method development work with ICP triple quadruple mass spectrometry. And in addition to method development work, I trained laboratory technicians and handled also maintenance of the ICP triple quadruples. Then I evaluate the measurement uncertainties and evaluate the quality of the results that were measured by the ICP techniques. Then a couple of words about my time at Eurofins. Eurofins is a commercial laboratory which is ISO 17025 accredited. And most of the commercial laboratories are accredited. And that means that the laboratory should follow certain quite strict rules that are stated in that ISO standard. And when I worked as analytical service manager, I checked the results and report those to the clients. Then I scheduled different analyses and reanalyses with the laboratory. I helped lab manager and quality manager. Then I did a lot of customer service and problem solving and things like that. The sample matrices we handled in Eurofins were soil, forages and feed, different compost, soil improvers, growing media, manures, urines, and different fertilizers. And that time was actually the, or th this position was the first touch for me for environmental analysis and the analytics that are required by legislation and different directives. Nowadays, I work as a testing expert, and as I already mentioned, we sell and arrange analyses to our clients in cooperation with our partner laboratories. And in my current role, I arrange analyses with different laboratories. I prepare offers to the clients. I coordinate samples from clients to the labs. I report the results and help our clients to interpret those. Then I do a lot of customer service and problem solving that is related to the projects of our clients. And I also wanted to mention that nowadays a lot of my projects are related to the legislation, which means that I need to read and study different regulation and directives almost every week. And then I study different analytical methods and official method standards constantly. Because, for example, if our client told me that I need analysis according to EPA 1633, I really need to know what is the analysis behind that official method standard. Yes, let's hop to the actual section and ICP techniques that I have used during my studies and career. Let's start with my bachelor's thesis. This was actually the first time when I was in touch with ICP techniques. And my subject was the determination of heavy metals and trace elements concentrations in Finnish freshwater fish. And the elements are listed here. I had three different types of tissues, muscles, kidneys, and livers. All of those were from different fish. Then, in addition to the real samples, I had two certified reference materials. And I used four different types of pretreatments. There were ashing, then sand bath plus acid digestion, ultrasonic assisted digestion, and microwave assisted digestion. And the purpose of the bachelor's thesis was to compare these pretreatments and how they work with the samples. Measurements were done by ICP-OES and ICP-MS. Then I learned how to calculate the results to organelle sample materials because with ICP techniques we usually measure liquids, but the results still need to be reported to organelle sample materials, so solid samples. And then I learned how to use certified reference materials when evaluating the success of the analysis. My master thesis was also related to ICP techniques, and the subject was to implement the new ICP triple quadrupole mass spectrometry to the laboratory of Nornickel Harjavalta. And the first section of my master thesis concentrates the tests that evaluate that the new instrument work as it should be working. There were tests related to repeatability. In one analytical run and during 1 month. Then we test mechanical resistant accuracy, interference correction, how the device is cleaning, what is the risk of cross-contamination. Then there were tests related to sensitivity and resolution. And after those tests, I developed a method for 26 elements in nickel sulfate solution. And I used process samples and certified reference materials when I was performing the method development. There were some specific challenges that needed to be tackled. The matrix of the samples was super strong, 8 grams per liter nickel. And as you might have learned, ICP-MS techniques are often used for relatively clean samples, for example, for different water samples. So 8 grams per liter of nickel is totally really high and strong matrix. Because of the strong matrix, there were quite difficult matrix interferences for important elements. So we needed to develop the method that can remove the matrix interferences. Nowadays, I work a lot of different ICP techniques. I have li listed different techniques here. But in my opinion, if you know the basics of the ICP techniques, then the different letter combination are usually just additional properties or more special applications. And With a small additional studying, you should be able to understand how different applications are working. And nowadays, I work with different ways to analyze elements with ICP techniques. There are semi-quantitative analyses and quantitative analyses. And then my projects are related to targeted analyses or one or two elements. And then I arrange also screening analyses of 71 elements and everything between these two. Then, because for ICP, we usually need to perform some kind of pretreatment for the samples. I have listed here some examples about the pretreatments. We can measure direct measurements from liquid samples, and usually in those cases, we are interested in total concentrations in the liquids. Then we can perform extractions for solid samples when we are interested in extractable elements and their concentrations. Then one option is to perform digestions or different fusions for solid samples, and in those cases, we are usually interested in total concentrations or extractable concentrations. Then, in general, what I have learned about analyzing small concentrations during my career. In the beginning of this section, I have listed different analytical techniques I have faced during my career. The list is quite long, but I wanted to give this list because I wanted to mention that it's not important that you know every single detail of these analytical techniques, but if you know in general how analytical chemistry is working, it's much more easier to understand what these techniques can do and what are the limitations and things like that. I think the most important thing to learn about analytical chemistry and especially when measuring small concentration is the purpose of the measurement and intended use of the result. So what is the or where you will use the results that are obtained? Is the use to perform some monitoring for your production? Is the purpose of the measurement R&D? Or are you going to analyze commercial product? Or are the analyses related to regulatory test? Or is the reason for the test something else? This is really important to detect when you are planning the analysis for your samples. And after you have concentrated what is the purpose of the analysis, you should select the right pretreatment and analytical method. And the selection of those two things is crucial, especially when measuring small concentrations. There are some challenges when we want to select the pretreatment or analytical technique, and I have listed here some topics that should be or are good to keep in mind. For pretreatment methods, do we want to analyze total concentration or extractable concentration? There are totally different pretreatment methods for those. Then the challenge to select the right analytical technique: is the selected method accurate enough? Is the detection limit of the method enough? Are we able to measure as low concentrations as we want? And even the best method development won't help if the technology of the analysis device is not enough. So there are limitations that are good to keep in mind. For example, when you are selecting the analytical technique, for example, between ICP OAS and ICP MS. Then, what to keep in mind is matrix interferences and how we can develop or select the method that measures the element we want, not the interferences caused by the matrix or other elements. Because if the method is not validated properly, or developed properly, the device can actually measure the matrix interference and not the element we want. Then a really important thing to keep in mind when measuring anything is the reliability of the measurement and how we can estimate the result is correct or not. And as I already mentioned, the proper method development is crucial in these situations. And one good thing always is to evaluate the measurement uncertainty. Then I wanted to share some tips for the future. Study the basics of the analytical chemistry well. As I already mentioned, you don't need to know all technical details about every single analytical technique. But if you have studied the basics of the analytical chemistry well, it will help you a lot when you are facing different analytical techniques. I highly recommend you to select courses that are related to different analytical techniques, because in working life you will face different techniques, and it will help a lot if you have at least a hunch what are the instrument and what they can measure. And whenever you are analyzing anything with any analytical technique, please focus on what you are analyzing and in what situation. Think the purpose of the measurement and intended use of the results. And when you are doing so, you can select the right method. And if you select a too accurate method, or you select a method that is not as accurate as you want, it will cause problems in the future. So when planning the analysis, think what you are measuring. Then know your sample matrix well, because all the analytical techniques have some kind of matrix interferences. So you should know the sample matrix well, so you can tackle the interferences. And the last tip I wanted to mention is that if you have the opportunity to work as a method development chemist at some point, try different approaches and be brave with the techniques, because method development is often full of trials and errors, and all the failures will teach you to be better in the future. For example, when I did method development at Nornickel Harjavalta, I did a lot of mistakes and errors, but I learned a lot from those. And I was happy that my supervisor allowed me to do all those mistakes, because I learned a lot about those. Thank you for your attention. And if you want, you can connect me in LinkedIn. And now it would be nice if you have any questions for me.
Thank you, Mary. What a great presentation. Those were the things I actually have mentioned, some of those at least during the course. So it was a nice to hear from the industry side, so someone who is actually working in analytical chemistry, that those are the things we actually use in our working life. So it's
yes,
not just during the courses, but they are actually used in real life.
Yes.
Great. Then we could, if you have questions, write them in the chat. I saw one question from Kasav, but we can talk about the about the ICB demonstrations after Mary's questions. So if you have questions for Mary, it would be nice to hear your questions. I can at least start the question, because I know your background, so I probably know the answer to this, but I'm fishing it out of you. So what do you think because I think a really important part of your career was the Nornickel project you did for your master's thesis. How do you think you found that project, and how did you come about doing that project? How did you find it, and how were you selected to do that project?
I found it very helpful. I learned a lot during that project, and I have always been interested in different ICP techniques. So after my bachelor's thesis, it was quite nice that I had the opportunity to continue with ICP MS techniques, and that phase was really important if I think my whole career, because the project gave me good insight what is needed when measuring elements from a really difficult matrix and what are the analytical limitations and what we need to consider when we are thinking measurement uncertainty and things like that. So it was really helpful, and I use those learnings almost every day nowadays in my work.
Yeah, actually, I meant to ask that how did you find the project, or how did you miten sä pääsit siihen projektiin, että miten se tuli sulle? Joo.
Yes, actually, Rose Matilainen arranged that opportunity, because Nornikka Harjavalta contacted her, and then I performed my bachelor's thesis for Rose, and Rose mentioned that Nornikka Harjavalta has this topic available if I'm interested in that, and then I was taking the opportunity to participate.
Yeah, and I think your bachelor's thesis was like in good agreement with your master's thesis, because you had used the ICP, so you already knew about the ICP techniques when you started your master's thesis. So maybe a little bit of luck there also. So it's always a case of what is available at the time, but that was a really good project, and we have lots of company projects, but they are not always so are not available for all students. But if you have good luck, you may get a opportunity to work in a company related project. I will check, where is my chat over here? Annika is asking, what was the biggest challenge you faced during ICP measurements, and how did you overcome it?
I think the biggest challenges are the matrix interferences, and ensure that the ICP is measuring the element you actually want. And especially during my master thesis, there were really strong matrix interferences. So we needed to do really careful method development so that all the interferences were corrected and the results were reliable. And then some challenges that I have faced that if you are measuring really strong matrices with ICP techniques, the maintenance of the device is really important, so that the device or instrument stays in good condition.
Yes, I can imagine, because I would be quite hesitant to analyze 8 grams per liter of nickel with ICP-OS even. So to go to ICP-MS with that kind of strong matrix, it requires some courage, but
Definitely.
yes. Do we have other questions from the chat? The audience at the lecture hall seems not to have. Yeah, go ahead. No, koita, mä toistan sitten vielä.
Just thought that you are doing the analytics of the BFAS compounds. So can you tell something about the products that are used with those?
Yeah, I'm going to repeat it so everyone can hear. The question was about PFAs. So can you tell a little bit about that analytical technique that you're using for the PFAs?
PFAS compounds.
Yes.
Yes, PFAS compounds are usually measured by liquid gas chromatography or sorry, LC-MS and GC-MS techniques. So that's organic analytics mostly. And then one important topic when you consider PFAS analysis is the analysis of fluorine, because all the PFAS compounds include fluorine. So another option is to analyze total fluorine or total organic fluorine from the samples. But yeah.
Yeah, and those are quite like important nowadays. People are analyzing them more and more, and we actually have at JYU we also have those kinds of analysis. Elina Kalenius is doing those, and then we are doing those in one of our project, BlastLife project. Suke is doing those, so National Institute. No, sorry, I'm the Finnish Environmental Institute, Suke, doing those
And
analyses for
actually,
us.
there are a lot of new legislations coming for the PFAS compounds, and analytical techniques are constantly developing. And with PFAS compounds, we are usually discussing about concentration levels that are nanograms per liter. So it's super difficult analysis to achieve such a low detection limits, and it needs quite special techniques.
Yes, lots of method development. I think I even saw when Suke was showing their results, they had done spiking recovery tests, and the results were quite low for some of those PFAS compounds. So it's a tricky analysis, not by any means like a routine technique yet.
Yes, and our clients want to analyze PFAS compounds for every single sample matrix, and it's really a bit difficult to find analysis for some really rare sample types.
Yeah, and probably all of the PFAS also.
Yes.
I liked it. As do I like it when customers like to analyze all of the periodic table with ICP-MS, or I'm like, yeah, we'll do
Yes.
it.
Yeah, and for PFAS compounds, there are thousands of different compounds. So there is no one method that could analyze all of those.
Yes. Thank you. Do we have any other questions from the audience? Doesn't seem to be none from the chat either. So I think we will thank you, Mary, for the great presentation. Thank you so much for being here and reminding us that the things that we actually discussed during the course, they are really used in working life. And yeah.
Yes.
So thank you. We will stay for a little bit to discuss maybe if you have some other questions, I will stay on and I will stop the recording now. So
Yes. Thank you
thank
for
you,
having
Mary.
me. Bye.